So thank you all for joining us today. Our normal campus ministry webinar will be focused on justice GA preparation for young adults and those who work with them. And I am so thankful for our presenters who are joining us on very last-minute notice. When I was getting lots of questions about GA and realizing that it would be really helpful to gather the folks who have more of those answers and have a time for people to join us. So we have Laura Gilmore, who's the Young Adult Caucus co-moderator, Emmer Staton, who's the Young Adult Caucus Justice Liaison, and Carrie McDonald, who's the Office of Youth and Young Adult Ministries Director. And for those of you who are just joining us, we'll have time for introductions in just a minute. Our opening reading comes from Cooking Together, Recipes for Immigration Justice Work, which is a UUA blog that can be found on the URL at the screen if you're viewing the PowerPoint or the WebEx, or at immigrationjustice.blogs.uua.org. It's a prayer by Reverend Martha Valentin. She's the minister at the First Unitarian Church in Littleton, Mass. Spirit of compassion, isn't it amazing how we can crave to know an outcome before its time, even as we accept that we cannot know how anything will go? We do not know if the mounds of obstacles will become dirt cleared away or earth made into mountain. We do not know if fresh air will degenerate into a stagnant suffocation or be sucked out of lives longing to breathe freely and easily. If the deserts will spring a true oasis or continue to offer a false vision of survival, if the shores will be flowing invitations into unfathomable freedoms or a fearfully bedded withdrawal or even the tiniest hospitality. We who walk on the ground taken for granted, we who speak of an earth that has no borders, ask for guidance as we aid those in need, as well as those who would obstruct our care. Spirit of compassion, strengthen our resolve to carry forth this ministry, regardless of the reality of the decisions made to seemingly thwart our efforts. Let us, in one grounded body, strong in our Unitarian Universalist faith, in solidarity with those whose lives are most at stake, resolve never to give up this fight for them nor for our country. Let ours be the voices that demand a true accounting of these legal human beings. Let ours be the hearts that resolve, whether through light or dark times, to stay the course no matter what, no matter how long. Let our love be the kind they have been waiting for. And just a brief technology introduction for those of you who are joining us live. You can press *6 to mute yourselves and then *6 to unmute yourselves. So if you're not speaking, feel free to do that, and the person who is speaking will be clearer. And then when you want to ask a question, you can just feel free to *6. This conference call is being recorded, and we are able to outtake, you know, some beginnings and entries. So if something needs to be taken out, that will not be a problem. And as you can see on our main screen, there's the PowerPoint presentation, and we can share other documents that way. On the top right-hand corner, we have a participant list, and at the bottom, there's a chat feature that you can send to one person or to the whole group. And now I'd love to have us introduce ourselves. We have our name, geographic location, what our Unitarian Universalist community or communities are, and then one question you're coming with or something you're hoping to learn. So I will start us off, and my name is Kayla Parker. I am located in Boston, Massachusetts, and I'm the Campus Ministry Associate for the Unitarian Universalist Association headquarters. I'm also a member at the First Parish in Brookline. And I am just really excited to hear about what's happening with the Young Adult Caucus and a little more details and information about the justice events so that I can share that with more folks. And then I'll have us go down just in order of who got here. So Andrew, if you'd like to go next, that would be great.
All right, my name is Andrew Cote. I'm also in Boston, Massachusetts. I'm a member of First Parish in Cambridge, and I'm at Boston University School of Theology. And I mean, honestly, I just saw that Kayla had linked to this, and that sounded like something I should be at. And I had nothing else going this afternoon, so I don't really have a question at the moment.
Thanks, Andrew. And Susanna, are you on the call?
Yeah. This is Suzanne Fast. I'm in Fort Myers, Florida, and I am the coordinator for an emerging campus ministry at Florida Gulf Coast University, and I'm looking forward to hearing more about how I might be able to advocate for young adults to be involved with Justice GA.
Great, thank you. And anyone else who has recently joined us as a participant who would like to give their introduction?
Hello, this is Doug Jones from Urbana, Illinois, Channing Murray Foundation. I'm the co-executive director here, and I'm interested in finding out more about transportation to and from GA if anything interesting is being organized.
Great, thanks, Doug. Anyone else? All right. Laura, if you'd be willing to introduce yourself.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay. I am Laura Gilmore. I am one of the two co-moderators of Young Adult Caucus this year. This is my second and final year in that role. We have two rolling two-year terms. And my co-moderator, Ellen Zemlin, could not be with us today, I believe. So I am also, like Andy, a member of First Parish in Cambridge, and living in Cambridge, Massachusetts right now. And I am just here interested what people have questions about, what people are concerned about going into GA, so that, you know, in our last month of planning for Young Adult Caucus, we can make sure to get you answers that you want and also just take whatever concerns people have into account when we get to Phoenix on the ground.
Great. Thanks, Laura. And Emrys.
Yeah, hi. So my name is Emrys. I'm living in Los Angeles area and just finished my Master of Divinity at Claremont School of Theology last week. So I'm kind of reveling in that graduation goodness right now. And I'm working, yeah, as kind of with Laura and Ellen to kind of be a bridge between the GA planning folks and Arizona Immigration Ministry and folks in Phoenix as far as what the witness and social justice events will look like, and particularly for us kind of making sure that the opportunities to engage young adults and all that are abundant and clear, and yeah, so it's kind of just where I'm at, I guess.
Great. Thank you for joining us, Emrys, and congratulations on your graduation.
Thanks.
Carrie, if you'd like to introduce yourself, and then we'll just let you launch into talking about the general framing for this General Assembly.
Sure. I'd be happy to. I'm the director of the Youth and Young Adult Ministries office here at the UUA, located in Boston, although I am originally from Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, and the UU Church there. And I get the chance to work with folks like Laura and Emrys and Ellen, as well as the Youth Caucus leaders who are also outstanding this year to plan a lot of the events that are focused around youth and young adult participation at GA General Assembly this year. So I will just say a couple words about General Assembly and what's special about this year and kind of how that's developed, and as well as some of the detailed financially questions, and then I'll be around to answer other general questions, along with Laura and Emrys. As I'm sure many of you already know, this year's General Assembly has been refocused on justice issues and immigration in particular, that stems from the fact that local groups in Phoenix, Arizona, where General Assembly will be, had called for a boycott in opposition to some draconian immigration policies that were passed in Arizona, we had already booked our site in Phoenix, and rather than cancel General Assembly in protest, what we ended up doing is agreeing to work with these partners, our partners on the ground, to come and bear witness to the struggles that they have been undergoing in Arizona. And this has really affected every single piece of GA, every worship service, every workshop, every piece of communication about General Assembly has been revisited to see if it can be more focused on justice, including, of course, Youth Caucus and Young Adult Caucus, and Laura will talk a little bit more about that. A couple of themes. The first theme, I think, is... it has been the work of our partners. This is a number of organizations that are local in Phoenix, most of whom are have deep connections to the local Latino, Hispanic, and Chicano communities. They include folks like Puente and the National Day Laborers Organizing Network, Endelon. I'm sure Emerson can tell you a little bit more about how those coalitions have been working, but. From our perspective in Boston, I think, you know, General Assembly has usually been something that's planned by a small group of people, entering into a relationship with these folks has really changed the quality of a lot of the things that we're doing, and has challenged our assumptions on some levels, has helped us think of things we never would have thought of, and I just think it's been such a wonderful, rich, rewarding approach, rather than to say justice, oh, well, we as UUs and people of faith are not going to simply decide what we think justice is, but we're really going to make some deep connections and hear what other folks have to say and hear what we think we can do to be helpful. And so those relationships with the partner organizations have also really guided the witness and service events that will be going on at GA. And then I think another big trend, another big thrust of GA this year has been how multi-generationally focused it has been. There are lots of different pieces that go into planning a General Assembly, which includes thousands of attendees. But we've seen a commitment to, on the one hand, include individual youth and young adults in the planning process. The General Assembly Planning Committee includes a number of young adults as well, and those are elected positions. We've seen folks really try to make sure that there are programs that address a wide variety of age ranges. Oftentimes the General Assembly, a lot of the people who go are retired, and we wanted to make sure that there's a good range of programming. The stuff that's new this year, the service and witness actions, those are, have been and are continuing to be planned with strong young adult involvement and interest. So I think it's going to be a really welcoming environment. A lot of people are excited about having large numbers of young adults come to GA this year. We have seen steady registration, though not blowing anything out of the water. I think some of that is because Phoenix is a little bit hard to get to, but registration has been strong and steady, and we've had actually tremendous response for our financial aid this year, 3 to 4 times as many applications as in years past, because there's been such a commitment to make this a multi-generational General Assembly and to have strong attendance from youth and from young adults. We had additional resources for scholarships and financial aid this year. And even then, we simply weren't able to give everyone as much as we would have wanted. Just as a word for those, if there's anybody on the call who applied for scholarships, the volume of applications made it a little took us a little while longer to process, but notifications were sent out Friday and are continuing to be sent out today, so everyone should find out about that shortly. Another thing that we offered were, we were calling them Get There grants, which rather than individual financial aid awards, were supposed to help fund projects that would help larger numbers of young adults and/or youth attend GA and lower the barriers, the cost barriers for larger numbers of people. So, Doug, I know you asked about transportation. There are two bus trips that I know of, one coming from the San Francisco Bay Area and another coming from the Southeast District, so Atlanta, I think. And there was one that was going to be leaving from Topeka, Kansas, I think, and it sounds like they haven't had quite enough registration, so they may not actually be getting their bus together. But there are a couple of groups that have been trying to coordinate bus trips down to Phoenix. Planning has been coming along smoothly, and I anticipate it being a really wonderful, very hot, couple of days in Phoenix. So that's about all I have to say at the moment.
Great. Thank you, Carrie. And does anyone have any quick questions about what Carrie just talked about before we move on to Laura?
Where did we find the bus information?
There are various places where these websites are. Kayla, I can send you some links and you can send those out.
Great. Any other questions? Great. Well, we'll now get into just a little bit more detailed and have Laura talk about what Young Adult Caucus is up to and offering this year.
Sure. So a lot of our work in planning Young Adult Caucus this year was trying to figure out what we really wanted Young Adult Caucus to be and how we could still maintain a space for young adults to gather, but, you know, rethink that process in light of the charge of this GA. So a lot of how we've been framing Young Adult Caucus this year is less focused on the business of General Assembly, since part of our call was to not do business as usual at this GA, but really to create a space that's a space for young adults to gather, to get to know each other, to find out what's going on with GA in general, and find ways to get engaged in the witness and service projects, to ask questions about any of the discussions that are going on, any of the business that is going on in plenary, any of the issues of this General Assembly, and also to provide a safe space for people to discuss their experiences in smaller groups. And I think the other really big change that we made this year is that going into this GA, we knew that with a different structure for General Assembly, we needed a different staffing structure. So normally we have had two co-moderators and then one chaplain position, and this year we actually asked for and received funding to add two additional positions. So we're actually going to have two chaplains, one chaplain who's primarily dealing with the big worships of GA, particularly Synergy, the bridging worship, and then we've added a second chaplain position just to have a chaplain who can really be present with the young adult community and be present for all of our young adult caucus events and be there to, you know, take people's calls if they need to talk about something, to meet with people one-on-one, to help lead reflections during caucus, since we were finding that it was just a little too much work for one person before, and we really wanted to make sure that there was someone available specifically with a young adult focus to talk to people. And then other than that, we also got Emeritus's position, our justice liaison, to really make a connection between Young Adult Caucus and the work that's going on the ground and the work of the Arizona Immigration Ministry. And our focus on programming has been just to give young adults some grounding to go out and engage in the wider conversations and issues that are happening at this GA. So we'll be using a lot of our caucus time, less on plenary and more on reflection. Our community chaplain will be leading some smaller group activities. We will be having discussions about the limited business that is going on in plenary, and also just about some of the overarching issues of this GA. We'll have some time for people to break up into smaller groups to really get to know each other, because that's been something that's been asked for the past few years, so that when people are going out to witness and service events, they maybe have a few people that they can go with. And we're going to be offering two workshops specifically. In the first, I believe, workshop spot, we're going to have sort of like an intro, get your feet wet, start talking about social justice work for young adults. We'll be doing some very basic introduction to anti-racism, anti-oppression training. We'll be having Emrys talk a bit about the work that has been going on in Phoenix, and just trying to give people a grounding so as they go into other workshops, or if they want to take on one of the longer training sessions on anti-racism, anti-oppression work, they feel prepared going into that. And then the second workshop we'll be doing is later on in the week. We'll be having a workshop that's specifically focused on how young adults might think about taking the messages of this GA home. And for that, we'll be talking about different ways to do that, but we'll also be having some representatives from social justice ministries, successful examples of social justice ministries with young adults, to kind of give you some ideas of how you might continue to engage in social justice work in your home community and congregation. And we're still confirming who some of the participants in that will be, just now that people are figuring out their registration. Other than that, we are working right now this week on putting together a guide to workshops and events that we think are especially relevant to young adults. So we'll have that as a handout when we get to GA, and I think we will be sending it out with a welcome email to anyone who checks the young adult box on their applications as well. So look for that. That will probably also have some information on things you may want to be thinking about getting involved in right as you get to GA. I know Emrys will probably talk about this further, but there are going to be some witness and service opportunities that if you're thinking about doing them, you're going to want to prepare to get involved on day one when you arrive for some training. And then other than that, I guess the only other thing that I would say is that Young Adult Caucus is really working on making sure that young adults continue to be at the table in all of the discussions leading up to GA, in planning the witnesses and service and all the other events. And I've also been working with one other young adult, Ian Jaffe, on the GA accountability group for this GA, and we've been giving a lot of input into how to keep young adults involved. And then we've also had Emrys working with the Arizona Immigration Ministry, so we're really trying to just keep ourselves engaged.
Great. Thank you so much, Laura. Does anyone have questions for what Laura was just talking about? Everyone is just excited and amazed.
We'll get some of it in writing, too. That'll probably help.
Great, and I'm happy to send out that document as well to the folks who I'm working with and distribute that. Great. Well, Emrys, if you'd like to talk a little bit more about those events that Laura was just mentioning.
Yeah, sure, and I will send a URL in the web address in the little chat thing here for everyone that goes to the General Assembly page that has kind of the public witness events outlined and what they have so far, at least with them. So this year, I mean, typically at GA, there's been some kind of, you know, witness event, something or other in the past. This year, there will be a handful of them, and they're kind of juggling a bunch of different sort of, I don't know, competing interests to make these events happen. And so part of it is that it's just darn hot in Phoenix during the day. So doing stuff outdoors during the day is really difficult to do logistically, and also just a lot of folks health-wise and whatever, it'd be very hard to participate. So everything was kind of in the evening or nighttime, and everything that's going to be outdoors at least. And then the other thing, too, is it was really clear that working with the groups in Phoenix, that this wasn't going to be like a big civil disobedience kind of thing or a big, you know, the General Assembly was not the kind of place and time for lots of arrests or anything like that. So it is more in the tone of witness events. And so since we're located downtown, it has to be at night, and it's sort of witness events. Those are some of the kind of constraints that they had to work with in planning the different things that we're doing. So basically what we've got so far is Wednesday evening, kind of in the kickoff evening, there's going to be, as far as I can tell, it's more of like a speaker inside thing, and then I think they're going outside afterwards to sort of be out on the sidewalks and the streets in downtown Phoenix. And I guess I should say, too, just while we're thinking about planning and transportation, that Wednesday earlier during the day, I think it's early afternoon, there will be an opportunity for about 100 folks to get trained to be what they're calling marshals and other kind of logistics and support for the witness events. And so that's the kind of thing to be thinking about as far as getting to GA early enough. And they really want young adults to be a part of that in large numbers. And it would basically involve, so the training is from 12:30 to 3:30 Wednesday afternoon. And it's kind of being hosted by the District Presidents Association. And that will be kind of a required thing for folks that do want to help with being, you know, support roles for the witness events. And so that's everything from just kind of peacekeeper folks to folks handing out water, people helping people get on buses, or whatever it is that kind of logistically needs to happen to make those events run smoothly. So that's an invitation that really should go out to like all UUs, but definitely young adults, to be a part of that training so they can then sort of help out with the witness events throughout the week. And I think that's really exciting. That's a great way to plug in and be a part of what's going on. So, okay, so hey, with that said, then, yeah? Oh,
and just a quick question. Is there information on that somewhere online? Because I know in the page we just got sent, which for folks joining us, not live, is www.uua.org/GA/values/1246.shtml. Has information about the Wednesday night event, but not a Wednesday afternoon training.
Right. Yeah. So we just kind of put together a little description of the training last week with Arizona Immigration Ministry, and I think Laura, did I forward that to you? I should have. That needs to get advertised kind of separately because it's not necessarily a witness event.
Okay. I don't know if I've gotten it yet, but if you send it to me, I'll make sure that we get it into this summary of relevant events that's going to be going out, too.
Yeah, awesome. Okay.
Okay, great. I just didn't want folks to say, wait, does it actually exist? It exists. And if you're interested, you can contact Laura or Emrys, and they'll have more information. That's great.
Yeah. Good. So I don't need to like repeat everything that's on this web page, but I guess to run through it, the Wednesday night will kind of be like a kickoff witness event. There'll be a Friday, also evening. It's called a community celebration with our partner groups, and then the one that I was talking to Susan Frederick Gray last week, and she said the one they really really want, you know, people to be excited about and the people show up for and be prepared for is the Saturday evening event, which is going to be, I guess, a candlelight vigil at the Tent City, which is part of the sheriff's jail complex in Phoenix. And Tent City is kind of one of these like egregious, awful prisons where, you know, prisoners are kept in, like, pink underwear, and it's 130 degrees during the day outside and freezing at night in the winter, and it's a really awful place. So we're going to be having a presence down by that jail complex. And then just some things to keep in mind is that when we do stuff like that, that means that the jail will be kind of kept on lockdown. So even though we're there, for the people in the jail, it's not necessarily, you know, their experience of it will be a little different, I'm sure, having a bunch of people rallying outside. So those are, you know, there's like all these different, I guess, things to keep in mind as far as how we're conducting ourselves as UUs in large numbers in Phoenix. But everything's being planned with, you know, the participation and input of groups that are active in Phoenix. So hopefully, you know, with accountability and just being in those discussions, it's sort of the best we can do. At the end of the events will be impactful and important to be in. So that's kind of a basic overview. As far as young adult-specific stuff with all of these, like, we had some discussions. I've talked to some folks about if there's some other kinds of events that maybe young adults could split off and do separately. And the feeling of that was, for General Assembly, was to really try to keep everybody together as much as possible. So even if, and there's still maybe some opportunities for young adults to do things separately, but the general sentiment I was getting was that to keep everyone together was like really kind of one of the main, I don't know, points of this, and not to have groups running off and each doing their own thing. So I'm not really sure how all that's going to totally play out by the end of it, and I would be really interested in feedback on that too, because I can definitely see both sides of the argument on that. And another thing I'll just throw out too, as far as young adults, is if people have extra time and come to General Assembly and want to really kind of plunge their feet into the desert, if you came a week or two early or were willing to stay a week or two late, you can also go down to Tucson and volunteer with No More Deaths, which, you know, they do humanitarian work right on the border. You know, they put water out for people, and then also work in Mexico receiving people who are deported every day. So there's some other opportunities, you know, nearby in Arizona before and after GA that if people have the resources and ability, they can also get involved in stuff like that too. And the No More Deaths is a ministry that's part of a UU church, so it has those connections, and there's other groups as well. So I'll try and get some information about some of those groups out also, but obviously the big focus is on what we're doing at General Assembly. So that's pretty much everything I think I can say right now, and I'll be happy to answer questions if anybody has any.
Thank you so much, Emerson. That was so helpful. Does anyone else have questions? I know I already butted into his presentation with some clarification questions.
This is Andy. Yeah, I have two. So the first is the Saturday night event, you know, quote unquote, the big event, or are we expecting it'll be more split up with not one event where like a majority of people are at? Did that make any sense?
Kind of. So what it is like they're going to bus everybody over, you know, as many people as possible over to the Tent City Jail Complex. It's a few miles from where the convention center is.
Right.
So it'll be like the big event, and I think everyone will be kind of together is the idea. Is that what you're asking?
I guess when you said that there were going to be multiple witness events, my question was, are we expecting people to like pick a witness event and that'll be the one they go to, or are people being encouraged to attend multiple ones, or?
Yeah, no, definitely. The idea is to attend multiple events, and the way the schedule is set out, like the events don't overlap with other programming. They're kind of, you know, they're designed so that everybody can participate. So throughout the week, there'll be three witness events, and there's also, I forgot to mention, it's not on this page, there's a service event too, which will be basically a gigantic like immigration fair where folks who are already permanent residents or have some legal status, as many of our volunteers as we can will help them fill out the paperwork to actually apply for citizenship and that's usually really expensive. So there's also a whole thing to get, there's some kind of cost offset or scholarship that we're going to be able to provide people to apply for citizenship. So that's on top of the witness events. That will actually be like a service event, this big citizenship fair. And I don't know when that's scheduled in yet, but I'll find out.
Is that Saturday?
I think so.
One of the Saturday events.
Yeah, and the
Saturday events are, there are multiple things going on at one time. So there's that, and then there's also going to be some more kind of more like skills-based workshops at the same time that are longer. So for people who don't participate in that service opportunity, there's going to be a lot of other opportunities at the same time. And I think, Carrie, you probably also speak to this. Isn't there also just kind of an ongoing thing where people can go and help fill backpacks with supplies?
Yes. And that'll be in part in the exhibit hall, and that'll have some more flexibility. I think with the training, with the citizenship fair, you need to sign up when you register to participate in that. And I was just going to piggyback onto what Emerus is saying. You know, my understanding is that there's a variety of witness and service events that'll appeal to a variety of people with a variety of strengths and abilities and so on, and that not everybody is envisioned being able to attend everything, so there are different levels of involvement. So, for example, the Friday the biweekly, expression of solidarity with one of the partners who does a regular biweekly Friday demonstration out front of the Wells Fargo building is something that probably not that many people, you know, that maybe 50 or 100 people would go to. But the Saturday evening thing is envisioned to be literally everybody who's attending GA. And the same with some of the service activities, because they're limited in how many people can be involved. So there's a variety of points and a variety of ways that people are going to be able to interact with that.
Yes. Is that, Andy, does that kind of cover the question?
Sorry, I was unmuting. I just had a second question. So we're getting I'm assuming we're getting permits for anything like that. Like, we're not risking arrest, is what I'm understanding.
Yeah, all that stuff is. Phoenix and Arizona is just in general kind of wonky when it comes to law enforcement. But the idea is that these will be permitted, pre-planned, you know, on a non-arrest kind of things for sure. So if arrests happen, that means something went really wrong. But, they're doing everything they can ahead of time to make sure that everything is kosher and worked out with all the different, you know, especially Phoenix Police. They're kind of the main ones as when you're dealing with a lot of this stuff. And they've been fairly good to work with on these. So hopefully the Sheriff's Department will just sort of lay low and not be a pain in the butt. But basically, yeah, like this, none of this stuff is designed to have any kind of like law enforcement issues at all.
Great, and this is Kayla again. I was talking to Gail Forsyth-Vale, who runs this Cooking Together blog that our opening reading was from. She just wanted to make sure that we all knew about the resources there. They actually just came out with a theological reflection and discussion guide, which is kind of cool and really great for young adult and campus ministry groups, I think, because what she did is she organized snippets of sermons that were theme-based and then had discussion guide questions with it. So that's, a perfect format for a lot of campus ministry and young adult groups. And Janice Marie Johnson also wrote a piece on the spiritual practice of being in partnership, which is another theological reflection resource. And the Doctrine of Discovery video should also be coming out sometime this week, and that's just a video talking about the Doctrine of Discovery in the form of a dialogue between a grandfather and his grandchild.
And I would really, especially for campus ministry, the Doctrine of Discovery stuff is huge, and there happened to be a Onondaga chief that came by and spoke at one of my schools here in Claremont a few weeks ago about it, and the amount of stuff behind that is really incredible, and I think it would be a great kind of discussion and research and thing to explore on with campus ministry groups in general. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of late maybe now that summer's coming. A lot of those groups are kind of disbanding, but if there's any time or energy left, I would really encourage anything to kind of look into that, because it's pretty nuts and important to understand part of the history of all that and how it's still affecting us today.
And this is Carrie, just to add on what Emrys is saying, this will be a big piece of the business meeting in Plenary Hall on Sunday, the biggest plenary meeting. So it'll be important for folks to be sort of up on that issue so they can participate in that conversation.
Great. Any other resources that you all have found useful and want to share, or any unanswered, unasked questions?
The only other thing, this is Emrys again, if for campus, I'm just trying to think of in the context of young adult and campus ministry stuff, is reaching out and finding out if there's active Dream Act groups in your area, and getting to know what they're up to and find out kind of what struggles they've been doing locally, because they've just been incredibly creative and very inspiring to kind of watch the activism that's come out of that movement. And I think that's, and part, since part of GA is not so much fixing Arizona, fixing Phoenix, but getting UU's kind of inspired and ready to go back to wherever their homes are and get engaged with issues at home. The Dream Act, kind of the organizing and all that, is like a great thing to plug into, and I think there's a lot of good things to learn from what that group has been doing and just the different tactics they've taken and the discussions they've had. So I would really encourage anybody to look into, if they haven't already, Dream Act stuff that's happening locally as well.
Great. Anything else before we close out?
Hi, Carrie, this is Doug. I have a few questions.
Great.
One question I had is, I've got some adults who often attend GA who are thinking of not attending GA, and I'd like to encourage them to sponsor some young adults going to GA. Has anybody put together any sort of support documentation for that, like what it would cost to house a young adult, what would it cost to do transportation? I'm thinking that the dormitory housing was, what, $25, $28 a night per person? You still there?
This is Carrie. I can speak to that. If you look on the GA website, there's some good sort of descriptions. The dormitory housing was one single cost, and it was for a double room, and you had to book for all, I think, five or six nights, and I think that was around $260. Registration is $320. The flight is whatever the flight is from your location, and flights have been going up. We usually budget, around $200 for somebody who is going to be eating all their meals out for 5 days. I mean, that's a low-bound estimate. Those are just some rough figures that might give you a sense of the kind of money that you're looking at.
Okay. That sounds like good input. Again, I was just trying to get some of our, older adults to say, instead of going and being the heat yourself, send some young adults in your stead. Another question is, what kind of presence is the Young Adult Campus Ministry Office going to have in the exhibit hall?
I'm happy to talk about that as well. We'll have a booth as we've had in previous years, and this year the UUA has decided to take all the different offices that are getting booths at GA and kind of combine them into one long UU Highway booth. So we'll have our space there with our literature and our banner and our staff and all kinds of people there able to pass that information and answer questions.
Okay. At times in the past, there have been encouragements for campus groups to bring their own banners and put them in a central location, such as a booth in at GA. Is that going to be encouraged this year?
Kayla, I don't know if we've talked about that. So I think we'll have to get back to you on that.
Sorry, I was talking to you while muted. And because we don't have all that much space this in past years, I do not think that we'll have enough space to feature everyone's banners. But that's something I can also talk to my colleagues who are doing more of the booth arrangement. But there definitely will be time for campus ministry groups to be displaying our banners during the opening celebration and parade.
Okay. And speaking of banners, has there been discussion of taking the banners with us to the big witness events to help identify who we are? And I'm not talking about just campus ministry groups, but congregations as well.
This is Kayla again. I think my assumption and hope would be that we would be unified as Unitarian Universalists and not be differentiating ourselves based on our smaller communities. But that's my instinct and the vibe I'm getting from how it's being advertised. Carrie or Emrys, do you have other information about that?
This is Carrie. What I know is that Standing on the Side of Love campaign will be the branding that'll be used, particularly for the Saturday event, because we want everybody to be able to wear their yellow T-shirts because yellow is everybody's favorite color of T-shirt, to have a real expression of solidarity. Emrys, I don't know if you have any more information specifically on some of the public. Displays are going to be at any of the other events.
No, yeah, that's a good question. I don't. I think the SFL stuff is sort of the primary kind of branding we have as you use right now. And in Phoenix, too, because we were there, a couple years ago, a couple summers ago, where it was a lot more civil disobedience, and there was lots of yellow shirts. So that's an image that people are definitely used to seeing down there. And they kind of associate us with that for sure, but yeah, I don't know. I'll ask that question. It's a good question, but for Saturday, yeah, I think definitely yellow shirts galore.
Thank you.
And Doug, it's great to hear that you're trying to help some of your young adults raise money to attend a GA. I think that's wonderful.
Well, thank you. Again, there's a lot of older adults who just know that they're not going to tolerate the heat well, and they still want to be supportive. And I've got lots of young adults in my group who would like to go, but dollars and cents are really not stopping them.
Yeah. Anything else before we close out?
Hey, this is Andy Kodegwit again. I have another quick question. Dorm rooms were supposed to be charged in full on May 10th. I had heard some communication that they were going to push back that time. Is that being pushed back, or are they charging our cards in full on May 10th?
Andy, this is Carrie. I don't know, but we can check for you.
Yeah, I'd appreciate the answer to that question as well, since I've got two reserved.
Sorry, I missed your answer, Carrie. I was trying to remute my phone, and I missed what you said.
No worries. I said I don't know off the top of my head, but I can check and get back to you real soon, since obviously the 10th is Thursday. And I hadn't heard anything about that. The one thing that got pushed back was the deadline for the early bird registration for people who applied for scholarships, because it was taking us it was taking us a while to process, but I hadn't heard anything about that specifically.
Okay, I mean, what I am referring to is an email from Stacy Dixon.
Yeah, she works for the GA office.
Okay, and she said, this was sent 9 days ago on April 30th, and she said, it sounds like we now need to push back when we charge for dorms, which I realize doesn't exactly fix things, but then she hasn't said anything else, and my concern is that a number of young adults are getting stipend checks from their congregations in order to cover that dorm room or help with that dorm room or help with the flight or something. And if they're going to be charging in full, we haven't gotten those stipend checks quite yet from our congregations.
So I hear that, and I'll send Stacy an email about it, and we'll get back to you.
Okay, thank you.
Last call for questions. All right, I'm going to end with a closing reading then from Eric Cherry, who is in our international office. He's the director of the international office, and this is a shortened version of his prayer called A Peacemaking Prayer. The history is complex, the politics are intense, the fear and anger are overwhelming, and the future is unclear. But glimpses of a hopeful vision will not be bombed into oblivion by anyone. In prayer, we call to mind the peacemakers, neighbors of differing faiths, with different histories, with different politics, with different emotions, who find room for each other in their hearts, in their dreams, and in their lives, those who hold firmly to a vision of peace and justice anywhere in the world. Blessed be. And thank you all so much for joining us, and for those of you who are presenting, for presenting today.